I'll be reading from the King James Version with the scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 28. 20 through 28, 1 Corinthians 15. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that would be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
These verses that were just read by Brother James are encouraging to the Christian because we know that Christ is coming again one day to receive his own. He's going to take faithful Christians, that is the church, and deliver the kingdom up to God. So this morning in our first lesson, we talked about the fact that there's been a large decrease in the number of people who profess Christianity in their lives, who even profess to be anything religiously, and many have changed from Christianity to some other facet of religion. And there's danger in that because of that decrease. There's danger because there's people seem to be turning away from God. But this is nothing new. It's always been through the ages that there'd be times when more would serve God than the other times. Less would serve God at other times. But since Christ died and we're in the last dispensation of time on this earth, the Christian dispensation of time, God gave the ultimate sacrifice in His Son Jesus. His Son gave the ultimate sacrifice in giving His life and shedding His blood for our sins that we might have salvation. So we can rejoice in the fact that when we hear the Word of God and believe it, and we repent of our sins, are baptized into Christ, that the Lord Himself will add us to the church, His body, the kingdom of God, and we are God's children. And in that, we are thankful. And we can be thankful that we can live a life of faith. And where along the way, if we make mistakes, we can repent of them and confess our sin and repent of our sins and ask God to forgive us and go forward being more faithful each day that we live. We'll never be perfect, but we can serve God in a faithful manner, and we have that hope and assurance of eternal life. Well, we see that certainly in verse 24, he says, then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. The end of time. It's going to come the last day. And in the end, Jesus is going to do what? Deliver up the kingdom, the church. So in that, we ought to be thankful that God has provided a way that we can be Christians, that we can be children of God, that we can serve him, that we can do his will. And we find then that whenever Christ turns the church over to God, the church will be there forever and ever. There'll be no pain nor sorrow in heaven. There'll be rejoicing. There'll be singing and praising God for eternity. There'll be no night there. There'll be no pain. So there's a reason to be a Christian. There's a reason to serve God. There's a reason to do God's will. And this morning we begin our study about the church and the prophecies in the Old Testament pointing to the church and the importance of understanding that over a period of hundreds of years, God made several different prophecies through inspired men to let us know that there would come a time when Christ would come. There'd be a Savior that would come and he would live, leave the perfect example, shed his blood, and he would establish his kingdom, the church, on this earth. And those that would come unto it would be able to do that from all races, all nations, of every facet and walk of life, and be children of God. And in that, we serve God under the term of Christianity, being Christians in the church, serving God. The last verse we talked about this morning was Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. And we tied that in with Isaiah chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 in the fact that it goes all the way back to 725 B.C. And then Micah pointed out there in Micah 4 verses 1 and 2 that there'd be a, in the last days, in the mountain of the house of the Lord, there'd be a kingdom that would be established, which is the church. Salvation for all would be there. Salvation would flow forth from Jerusalem. And the blessing then would be for all nations and for many people. So today, there does not have to be a decline in people who say they're Christians. There does not have to be a decline in people who say that they are no longer religious in any way. There does not have to be a decline in people who are turning away from Christianity and saying that they are something else other than a Christian. If there can be an increase in Christianity. There don't have to be a decline in Christianity versus all these other things that has been evident for the past 20 or 30 years or maybe even longer according to certain polls and surveys. But as I said in the first lesson, we don't put much confidence or faith in any polls or surveys, but you can see by the attitude of many people today that it is an attitude of me is number one. It's all about what I want to do, and I'm not going to serve God, or I'm going to do it my way. And so Christianity has been thrown out the window. Doing God's will has been thrown and trampled under by the feet of men. And so let's continue this morning looking at the Old Testament prophecies that pointed to the time when the church would come. The kingdom would be established. The church and the kingdom are the same. And we discussed part of that this morning in Adam's class about the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, preaching and paving the way for the Israelites to prepare their hearts for repentance, to be able to accept the Messiah when He come. And Jesus was ready then to come and die on the cross and offer up salvation, not only for the Jews, but for who? For all those that are afar off. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2 now and take a look at a few verses there concerning another prophecy, concerning the fact that here is the Son of God. Yeah, that's going to come. There's a kingdom that's going to be established. And so hundreds of years before the church was even established, but it all did come to pass. Daniel chapter 2, beginning of verse 36, he interprets the dream of the king. And he gives this interpretation. And he tells them that what that dream meant that the king had. And he says in verse 39, "And after you, there shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, then another third kingdom of bronze, which will rule over all the earth. Then there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as iron, and as much as iron crushes and shatters all things, so like iron that breaks in pieces, it will crush and break all these in pieces. And in that you saw the feet and toes, partly of the potter's clay and partly of iron. It will be a divided kingdom, but it will have in it the toughness of iron, inasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of pottery, as some of the kingdom will be strong and part of it will be brittle. And in that you saw the iron mixed with the common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. And in the days," now here it is again, hey, Daniel saying, King, this is what you dreamed, this is what the dream means, and now all these things, these kingdoms that's going to come to pass, but in those days, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Now, what he's being told is that there's going to come a kingdom after all these kingdoms of men times are going to come, things are going to change, leaders of the world are going to change, the Israelites are going to go through all these world powers, and then there's going to be a kingdom set up that's unlike any of these. It's going to be the kingdom of God. Verse 45, inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future, so the dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. So the king had had a dream, and God had made known to him what's coming to pass in the future with these future kingdoms of earth. But God rules in the kingdoms of men, and God will put an end to the kingdoms of men. He will have a kingdom that's going to be unlike any of the kingdoms of the men that come and go and last for a lifetime or two lifetimes of people or for a few hundred years or a few decades. These kingdoms will pass away. They're temporary, but the kingdom that's coming is an eternal kingdom. It's one that's going to be of God that will never pass away. And he's talking about the kingdom, the church, that Christ purchased with his blood, that everlasting kingdom that's surrounded in the form of what we talk about today as being Christianity, Christians serving God. So if people could look at the Bible and see, and they can if they will, if they will look at the Bible and see what it is that God has told us in his scriptures of a coming kingdom, the church, the kingdom of God, and the people that are in it who are blood bought by Christ, who serve him, and where that kingdom is going, as we read about earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, it's going to heaven when this life is over. The kingdom is going to be turned over to God. The head of the church is going to come and get it. Christ is coming to get his bridegroom and take it back. So that is a kingdom that will never be destroyed. It's eternal. If people could grasp the fact that it is eternal and we need to be in that kingdom and serving God faithfully so we can go to heaven, we would see an increase in Christianity and not a decrease. But the thing is, people are turned aside from the Word of God by their own whims, their own desires, by the people of the world, by a popular whim that comes along that people follow for a while, an easy way out, or just not wanting to make any obligation at all to do what's right. Well, we look at this Old Testament prophecy. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had this dream, and Daniel gave the interpretation, as I mentioned earlier. Let's look at some of these things that's in this dream, as you already know, but let's just review it for the next few minutes this morning. God changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings, and he sets up kings, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. So remember, God is in control in the kingdoms of men. He allows them to be free moral agents and come and go and to make decisions. And men are prone to make bad decisions. Men are prone to be wanting to have all the authority and subdue other people and do people wrong and take people's lives. Men are prone to want to fight among themselves. But those things, those kingdoms, they're not going to be eternal like the kingdom that's coming from God, that God's going to establish in the last days. Remember, he's being told that in the last days there's going to be a kingdom established. And that's the one we're studying about in Wednesday night in the book of Acts. And what Adam is talking about with Christ and John the Baptist and Jesus, all about that life in the Gospels. Well, secondly, here in Daniel chapter 2, we see that God is letting Nebuchadnezzar know what will be in the latter days. That's down the road somewhere. Down the road from that time, 600 B.C. in Daniel 2:28, down the road in the latter days, there's going to be a kingdom that's going to come that's going to crush all these kingdoms. It'll be an eternal kingdom. It's not going to ever fade away or fall apart like these others. One kingdom may overrule another, but over to then. But after that, that kingdom, the church, is going to be eternal. So we see then here in Daniel that Daniel gave the interpretation of the dream there in chapter 2, verses 31 through 45, and he interpreted. He talked about the images. He said the image, the head, is gold. The breast and the arms equal silver. The belly and the thighs is brass, he said. The legs, iron. The feet, part of the iron, part of iron, and part of clay. The parts of the image represents various kingdoms, he says. But then he goes on and he talks about the fact in Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 45, that the parts of the image represent various kingdoms. from secular history, then we see and recognize that the things that came along beside the writing of the Bible, we learn about all those that followed in the order after this day of Daniel, earthly empires, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Going on, we see then the head of gold, Babylon, 625 to 539 B.C. Alan mentioned a couple of these periods of time in his class this morning. But the head of gold, Babylon, from 629 to 530, or 626 to 539 B.C. The breast of silver, the Medo-Persian time, 539 to 331. Now, when we look at this and we see the sequence and the way everything fell in place, and we see what the king dreamed, and Daniel, God gave Daniel the ability and the know-how to be able to interpret that dream, and he told him, said, this is what God says. This is what God is telling you in this dream. There's going to be these kingdoms. And so you've got the Babylonian, you've got the Medo-Persian, then you got the belly and the thighs of bronze, which would be the Cretan, from about along about 330 something B.C. And then the legs of iron of the Roman Empire, about 63 B.C. to about 5 A.D. And we know that that's the period of time we're studying in the book of Acts and the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that we're studying on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening in the book of Acts. That's the period of time. That's the time when there's going to be a kingdom set up. That's what? That's going to crush all these other kingdoms. It's going to be an eternal kingdom. It'll never pass away. So, hundreds of years before, we've already looked at four Old Testament scriptures this morning now that point to what? To a kingdom that will last forever. It's going to last on earth until Christ comes and gets it, and his gosh is going to take it home to heaven, and it's going to be there eternal. So the church, the kingdom, which is the same, continues from the time it was established in AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost until now, and it will continue until the end of time on this earth, and then it will go ahead and move on to heaven where Christ is going to take it. So if we would read and study that and teach others that and they would believe it, there'd be an influx of people saying, I will repent of my sins and I want to be baptized into Christ so I can do what? So I can be a part of that eternal kingdom that's never going to pass away. Well, Daniel 2:44 specifies the time when this kingdom will be set up. It'll be unlike any other earthly kingdom, he said. The time is when? Well, we read it earlier this morning in our first lesson. In the days of those kings. Well, now the Roman kings, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire. In the days of those kings. In the New Testament, it points to the days of who? The Roman Empire. And Luke 2, 1 through 7, we studied the last three Sundays with Alan. The fact that Jesus was born when? In those days. When? During the Roman Empire. They tried to take him out as a baby. They took out all those young babies trying to kill them because one of them is going to be a king, they heard, so let's just kill them all under a certain age. John the Baptist began his work when? In those days. The days of when? Of those kings. When were those days of those kings prophesied? Well, it was prophesied by Joel and Daniel and Isaiah and Micah. So all those things point to a true track of information from God letting us know where we ought to stand. John the Baptist began his work in those days. Jesus began his public ministry in the days of those kings. Mark chapter 1 verses 14 and 15. In the days of those kings. Which kings? The kings that Daniel prophesied about. The kings that were prophesied in the time and the period. And where would it go forth from? From where? Jerusalem. And that's where it went forth from. Well, Daniel 2 specifies the time of the setting up of the kingdom, which will be unlike any earthly kingdom. We know in the days of those kings, but the time. Daniel is the only Old Testament prophet to specify the exact time of the setting up of the kingdom that would never pass away. It says, in the days of those kings. So when Jesus began his work in the days of the Roman Empire, he said, notice now, he said in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, the time is fulfilled. What time? The time from whenever God planned it and whenever it was being prophesied hundreds of years before that, the time has been fulfilled. Now is the time. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said that. Well, John the Baptist also said this before Jesus, that repent and prepare your way, Israel, before the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So all this would agree with the prophecy of Daniel, chapter 2 and verse 44. Also, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, that we read this morning earlier, think about that and that prophecy. There in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, we see the setting up of a kingdom that would come, that would be established. And so we read that several times about Joel chapter 2. And so when we read those Old Testament prophecies about the kingdom, we find then that it's prophesying in the days of those kings, which happened in the days of just after John the Baptist preaching, in the days of Christ, just after Christ died and was rose again within the next 50 days, the 50th day, Pentecost. That kingdom was set up. The kingdom was established because the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and the first gospel sermon was preached. So the church then, the kingdom of God, the realm of being a Christian and serving God in the terms of Christianity, the church is the eternal purpose of God. He gives us all the information we need so that we may know all things about where we are today in the church. When it started, how it came about, what the purpose of Christ's death was for our salvation, that we'd be added to the church. So I need to study, and everyone needs to study, that we may correctly understand these things about the church and the prophecies in the Bible that are true and real. And the good thing is that we have the opportunity to share this with others. We go back to that survey, to that poll that was taken, and the decrease of people over the last 30 years that is saying that we no longer practice Christianity, or we are nothing religiously, we're not affiliated at all, or we're practicing something else other than Christianity. If they could read the Bible and understand, and they can understand if they will, if they would read these things, they could see that this book, as we mentioned this morning, 1,600 years or so, 40 different men wrote, and everything they wrote is in complete harmony with one another. So the facts are here. The things are real. And so the Old Testament points to the kingdom, the church. The Old Testament points to salvation in Christ. It not only points to that, but when we get in the New Testament, it points to that also. And the Lord's willing, next Sunday morning, we'll continue with our study and take up where we leave off this morning and look at the New Testament prophecies that are being fulfilled and the prophecies that are given by different ones in the New Testament that the kingdom is at hand. Some of you standing here will not leave until you see the kingdom of God come with power, Jesus told them. And we'll talk about those things next Sunday morning and tie them all together. But the point is that when we think about religion today in terms of just religion, when you think about the idea of people today and someone says, well, what do you do? They say, well, we practice Christianity. Well, now, we already said that we actually live the Christian life. We put it to work in our lives in obedience to God, and we are actually putting into effect the results of obeying Christ in our life. That's Christianity. That's serving God. That's doing His will. So the trend can be changed. The trend can be turned around. There can be an increase of people who come to God and obey Him, and we pray that they will. But the Bible teaches that nonetheless, there are going to be few that'll be saved, Matthew 7, 13. They will focus on the wide and the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in that. And the way that goes to salvation is the narrow way. So if we can get people's mind to focus on the Bible and understand that there's truth and there's error. And the Bible is the truth. And the Bible leads us to the truth of what Christianity is, of what the church is, of what the kingdom of God is. It leads us to the truth of when it was brought up in the mind of God from eternity. And then how that He presented it to men over the period of years, then told them, prophesy this. And they prophesied it. And it all came together in perfect agreement in Acts chapter 2. When the gospel was preached and the church was established, it pointed to it and it happened. So the Lord's willing, next Sunday morning we'll continue in Matthew and the gospels, and we'll look at the gospels and the life of Jesus and John and others pointing to the kingdom and show how it was established and is established and is in existence today. And then we'll be able to go forward after that and look back 2,000 years to when that church, the kingdom, when Christianity actually began in reality, when God put it in His mind and when it actually came into being, and it's still in existence today. And how long is that kingdom going to last? Until the end of time. So I hope the lesson will be interesting to you. I hope you'll bear with me and help us as we study and follow along and write these scriptures down and study, and let's be rooted and grounded in our own life and then share it with others. Share it with others. It's so important to do that. So if you're here this morning and you're not in the kingdom of God, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, why not believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Be willing to confess that, repent of your sins, and be baptized this morning, and He will add you to the church, the kingdom that is eternal. And you can serve Him faithfully and go to heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been faithful in that kingdom, and you need to have the prayers of the brethren. You need to make something right in your life. If that be the case, then please come while together we stand and while we sing.